Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Conscious Cloud. I'm your host, Mr. Joe Izzo, and today's episode of the podcast is special. One, it's special because you're here, and two, it's special because the energy and vibe I'm putting out for the podcast is already starting to come to fruition. And so what I mean by that is my guest today, Mr. Zach Anderson von Heeter, who considers himself to be an amateur citizen scientist, was able to find me on Facebook after listening to the first episode and reached out to me. And so we chatted for a bit back and forth and were able to find some topics that we were interested in. And from that point, I invited him to come to my house and we recorded this podcast together. So it's I'm super excited to continue to talk about these ideas on this podcast. And really, it's kind of like a playground for me in that I can talk about and express these ideas and put this vibe out there. And my intention is to meet new people, connect with like-minded folks, and build an awesome community of people where we can engage with one another and share data and ideas and be able to, you know, make everything really accessible for folks. So we can all feel like we are a part of this thing together. And so I'm excited to explore these ideas myself and then pretty much use this podcast as a platform to be able to report back what I find out and share my experiences with whoever's out there listening. So super excited, super stoked to have Zach on. This is our first time sitting down and having a conversation together. This is our first time meeting, which is just really cool for me because it's such a big part of why I'm doing this and a big intention that I put out there. So without further ado, I will get into this episode and here we go. Mr. Zach Anderson von Heeter. Well. Okay. So yeah, I am sitting down with my buddy Zach Anderson von Heeter.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Good to actually meet you. So Zach reached out to me on Facebook, which, you know, I've got a lot of feelings about Facebook, but
I agree.
Yeah. But there's good that comes from it, you know, with connectivity and humans. So this is, you know, part of the light side. Zach reached out to me and said, what's up? I met him through my first podcast episode with my buddy Jonathan, and he reached out, and now we're doing an episode. So furthermore, proof that, I don't know, the intention of the podcast is already making its way out, which is to connect with new people and have an opportunity to sit down with folks. So, I mean, really anybody could end up on this podcast if you're interested. So
thanks for the invite once again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for being here. I'm excited. This is going to be fun because I'm going to find out a bunch of information as well as anybody else that's listening to this. So, Zach, what are some things that you've been working on? So, or maybe you could talk a little bit about your experience or what your expertise is.
Yeah. So I guess a few years ago that I just wanted to look for a life more in touch with nature, and that provided me into a whole category of different areas like foraging, trying to cultivate different products. But it really started with foraging different herbs and mushrooms. And when I ended up going through that path and doing everything, going towards that and getting centrelles and different things in the forest, I really caught myself getting a little bit, I guess, caught off guard from the gourmet side of things or medicinal side of things. I really started identifying a lot with the ecological principles of these systems that I was going after. I started noticing what they were growing on. I started noticing what they're interacting with. One was getting eaten by a slug. Showed that it was not just stopping there. There was a chain reaction within the ecosystem. Sparked a lot of, curiosity, and it led me go to school in Tillamook and continued with my foraying and foraging experiences. But that actually encouraged me to go into an area for more of ecological engineering purposes and understanding the systems, and then also applying them within our own environment. So I just aspire to be an amateur citizen scientist in the making.
That's fun. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I one of Paul Stamets, when he, in it, the episode podcast he did with Joe Rogan, he was talking about how bees will actually eat at mycelium in the ground. And he actually had a dream about it in the 1980s. And it turned out that mushrooms themselves in the mycelium help heal viruses within bees. And so that information actually led him in a direction where they found out that there are certain mushrooms, I believe it's the agaricon, is beneficial for herpes simplex B. And so it was actually, I think, helpful for H1N1 too, I believe. You can find the information online, but super interesting stuff that, you know, it helps heal bee colonies. And so he's actually developing like a mushroom. It's like sugar water. Bees eat sugar water, and it's got mushroom tinctures in it as well. And that heals bees of the broken wing virus. And because there's been a bunch of colony collapse due to the fact that we have the pesticides that are being sprayed in the air. And also bees, like if you drink almond milk, and I'm sorry if you drink almond milk, but they transport bees every year to California to pollinate the almond trees that they use to grow almonds. So almond milk might not be vegan, but you know.
Well, yeah, and also the problem with almonds is the drought in California.
Yeah, you're also you're growing almonds in a place where you shouldn't probably really grow many things. It's even tough to grow humans in California right now.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming up here.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah. So I mean, that kind of takes us into sustainability and stuff. So you're like, what have you since you've graduated, I guess, what are some projects that you're currently working on or excited to work on?
I haven't graduated because I'm more directed towards the citizen scientist avenue, but I have some college experience, but not much. I'm more going into my own personal projects right now. I live on a farm outside of Newburgh, and the family I live with is encouraging me just to go through and develop the projects that I'm doing. So that involves inoculating logs with shiitake mushrooms, oyster mushrooms, lion's mane, some generic strains that are getting some popularity, and then also some patches of some garden giant for the fungi, and then also just really getting into the market garden and trying to end up developing a lot of, I guess, just vegetables and stuff and fermenting and going into that avenue. But one thing I'm really working on right now that's cast my attention right now is a pond on the property. I'm trying to develop a pond for the waterfowl we have. Ooh. Which is rather interesting. I've never done anything like it before, but I've been just researching glaying tactics and trying to figure that out. But all these come from just, I guess, that inspiration to be sustainable and live symbiotically with the environment around me. And that involves the birds we have on the property, trying to get forage for the cows we live with too, and just kind of go through that.
Okay, so what's your intention with this pond?
The pond? Well, because we have 9 geese and I think 9 ducks, and that's just the start of it. So they need a place to, you know, have a habitat to be at. So pretty much the intention is when I ended up moving there was this pond that when they ended up moving, the previous owner of the property just kind of tried to set up like this really janky pond, and they put like plastic on the bottom, and there was carpet for erosion protection. It was really a nasty project.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because we live next to Ponzi orchard.
Really?
Yeah, we really do.
I just drove past that to go to the coast.
Well, that's funny. You might have drove past the farm I live on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Small signs. World. Yeah. Ponzi schemes.
Okay. But yeah, no, that's pretty much what it had, was just a layer of plastic, some carpet, and pretty much for the summer that I've lived here, I've been slowly but surely getting off getting over there and actually trying to develop this pond that's involved tearing that stuff out of there, which was just nasty to deal with. And then we had now we're actually going through a process of glaying, like I was saying earlier. And what that is glay is it's a tactic that I'm learning that is to hold water in naturally, right? So like when I was pulling out the sludge in the pond, I actually noticed something. It was like this really sludgy material that was holding in the water, well, besides the plastic and the carpet, of course. I'm now noticing that the glay material that I'm using is about the same consistency. So basically what I'm doing is I'm grabbing manure and mixing with clay, and then you put that on the edge of the pond, and that it will eventually create a microbiota layer that has they produce this, like, it's just byproduct of this really clear film, and that will actually hold in the water. And what I've done so far is added the first layer of clay on the bottom, and the waterfowl I'm hoping will introduce, and then I won't have to do very much except for just keep building up on the walls, because they will actually, with their webbed feet, like tamp it down, and then they'll be producing manure as well that would be getting sucked into the cracks, and then that will be sealing the pond. But it's a lot better than using plastic and carpet and everything, because it causes an actual ecosystem of microbiota along with the ducks and geese, and also I'm going to incorporate willows around, and maybe an alder or two, along with some like cat's tail and different kinds of plants that are going to be living symbiotically within this environment, rather than what I saw the intention was before with the people that lived previously on the property was probably just some kind of swimming pool, it wasn't really necessarily a sustainable pond.
Okay, and so are those like things that are kind of native to the area too?
I'm planning on, alder, we have red alder around here, and I actually would like to go get some cuttings and seeds around, I think they start seeding around December is a good place to go, a good time to go and get them. And then willows, we have some willow around here, and then cat's tail grows in wetland areas, and then there's specific kind of grass that I'll probably end up figuring out with the best research, so that way I don't plant anything invasive or anything, and then end up just kind of using that. That's what goes back to the ecological roles, though. I started identifying with these roles that they were doing in the environment when I was foraging, and now I'm wanting to like incorporate permaculture tactics to get us all kind of in a healthy, sustainable environment again.
Okay, so what was your initial inspiration to be involved with this work? I guess
I don't know, it goes back a few years with I guess the inspiration to find something bigger than myself. When I was 18 years old, probably was the time where I really started wanting to connect with just something greater than just a hobby, get onto something. I ended up growing some plants. I really got in touch with cannabis and everything, and it led me down a path of propagation just in plants. And then I got in touch with mushrooms because I was looking at trees and different things in my environment. And then, of course, I stumbled across a mushroom on the ground. And then I'm like, well, what is this doing? This obviously isn't, a plant. We have like a whole different organism here that is causing a chain reaction to things that we don't really think about every day. So it goes back to me wanting to connect with nature and the environment I live in. And I just see how unhealthy we tend to live nowadays sometimes. And either the habits we're acquiring or the environment we live in, it's not necessarily the cleanest and the most quality.
Yeah, I think, especially living in the Pacific Northwest, people are at least aware of that. And having, I was born in Connecticut and then moved to Virginia. So the East Coast is just entirely different than the West Coast. So that's one thing that I definitely noticed when visiting out here before I had moved out here, and having been here for a couple years now, is seeing how much people seem to care about here more, or that it's kind of like naturally bred into people, because even folks that maybe more conservative will still live on farms, still, kind of have these values too, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. So, that's awesome. So is there anything since you've been on this farm that you've kind of like noticed or, that's like kind of stood out to you as you're like starting to interact with these ideas more?
Yeah. So what really got me into wanting to live on a farm and just practice permaculture in general was propagation of plants and mushrooms, like I was mentioning earlier. But one thing that I didn't take in account and like just kind of blew right over my head was the importance in animals in the ecosystem as well. And that's kind of obvious, but it's something that I just blew right over my head. I didn't really take any account. I was more like, oh, I can learn how to grow some plants. I can learn how to grow these mushrooms. I can compost, and I can have this really sustainable lifestyle, fermenting and getting all the nutrients I need. And I guess I also was vegan before, so I didn't really have the application for eggs or anything like that. But then I ended up moving to this farm, and they are practicing animal science and are keto and have a completely different lifestyle that I have now just learn to, I guess, be with as well. And I'm very happy with it. And I get to see goats and cows, and I've never really lived with so many ducks and geese and chickens. And we have a guinea fowl, which are interesting creatures. Like, I've never really encountered them until I live here. And it's so I guess the animal aspect of the ecosystem, it totally blew over my head. But they're so important, and they're so curious. And it's you really get to see, I guess, the personalities in each and every one. And there's, like, about 80 of them on the farm. So there's a lot to see.
That's cool, yeah. And I know, like, some of them will, like, maintain the grass, you know, and then other ones kind of fertilize things, so.
Oh, no, that's an important thing that I, like, and I totally bypassed, like, because you have the goats that are getting the shrubs, right? And then we have the cows doing the shrubs and the grass, and then you have the geese getting the grass as well, and then you have the ducks as well getting things on the lower ground, and you have, like, their different heights getting different things, and it's like, why do people buy lawnmowers? You can just, yeah. People should be have more symbiotic relationship with the animals around them.
Totally. Yeah. Are most of them vegetarians?
Are you talking about the animals?
Yeah.
No, we just have, I think dogs and cats are the ones besides ourselves that actually indulge in animal products or meat.
Yeah. I always wondered about that. Yeah. Goats eat, like, don't they eat blackberries?
They eat pretty much almost
everything.
They're
like ruthless, man.
They really are. I've seen a lot get grazed, and that's another thing that I've been learning a lot is just, I guess, the idea of grazing and what's overgrazing. How do you control, mitigate grazing? Because grazing is important in an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Plants expect it, right? They've evolved with it. So
that's so cool. I mean, yeah, these are things that I don't think that I necessarily think about, you know, really just the idea of being responsible for other critters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's cool because then they just reproduce and you just end up getting more of them too.
Oh yeah, we just got a cow on the property like 4 or 5 days ago.
That's fun.
He's gorgeous.
Well, yeah, so since you've altered your diet, I guess, what have you noticed? What do you think has been beneficial for you?
I guess the number one thing, since I was mentioning I'm on a keto diet, which is pretty much just extremely low carbs, around 20 to 40 grams of carbs a day. And the one thing I guess I've noticed the most is like how much carbs were addicting in a way. Like I notice when I'm actually hungry for something besides a carbohydrate-induced meal, because like I'm mostly on sitting on fatty acids now, because there's different ways you can obtain energy and adenosine triphosphate, and it ends up going, you know, amino acids, fatty acids, and carbohydrates. I guess I just noticed how powerful the carbohydrates was when it comes down to like just like wanting them, like just indulging on like, oh, a cookie or like even just an apple.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've noticed how much less I'm hungry and how sustainable the food I'm eating is and how much energy I really do have, how much more I can get through the day without eating. And also like I've been intermittent fasting, which is another interesting thing that has been introduced into my life. And I guess I just, the overall energy levels and the sustainability is really what stood out to me.
Definitely. Yeah. So intermittent fasting. I've heard of it. I haven't personally done it. So what's your fast times normally?
My fast time right now is just around like 9 PM the previous day until 1 PM. Just like the whole morning. I don't eat breakfast and I just eat around 1, and then I will sustain myself until later. And then it really actually has worked out perfect. I've actually gained weight, which is incredible to think
about.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, and so your energy levels are better too.
Mm-hmm. Way better. I didn't expect it.
Do you drink coffee at all? Or
I do drink coffee. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's something that I do. Yeah, so that might influence it, but I think that mostly the sustainability with this diet is kind of like pushed out to me. It's just you don't eat as much, but you feel like a lot better. And I've just noticed pretty much where my attractions go to. What am I feeling like I need more? And most of the time now it's water.
Yeah, just yeah, and so like listening to yourself, kind of being more in tune with your own body,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can hear what it's asking you for, you know.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of people talk about that as well, especially folks that like meditate too, and just kind of getting more in touch with your energy system and really listening to what it wants, you know. I mean, I'm really interested about how much sugar in the bacteria in our gut control our cravings.
Oh no, that's another topic that I would love to do more research on, because that's something that does happen when you shift to this diet. It's even called the keto flu. People get really like sick for like a week or two after they end up switching to this diet. And that's because all your microbiota ends up dying and it's shifting to a different food source. So you're having different types of microbiota and a different microflora inside of your stomach. And that's very important with a lot of things that we're starting to notice. I mean, I've seen certain research articles. I was even reading one yesterday and it was about schizophrenia and gut health. Like there's a lot of stuff that we don't really know. And that's another thing though, that was making me question. It's like, well, am I hungry for these things? Or you have things living inside of you that are sending you chemical signals that are telling you
trillions.
Yeah.
Trillions of things. Yeah, that's so interesting. And it's like, what if schizophrenia is just your people who hear their gut bacteria and are sensitive to frequencies? Well,
it'd be interesting. We definitely need to do more research on it. So like anyone listening that wants to do anything to do with like microbiota and your gut health, it's definitely something that is not looked at enough, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like as we start to work into mushrooms, we're starting to work into microbiome. One thing I'd heard on NPR a while ago that they had talked to is about fecal transplants. So there's people who have diseases and will have a fecal transplant from somebody else put it in their butt, you know, and it will help cure an issue that they're dealing with.
Well, then that's something wrong with their microbiota, not even their inside. It's like that goes back to the whole idea of symbiosis, right? Like I'm talking about symbiosis in the ecosystem, but that goes on a biochemical and microbial level inside your own self. You're made of abiotic and biotic things. So like you got to be in tune with that. You have to understand what these want, you know, like am I feeding them the right things, or like are they symbiotic in myself? Because when something becomes a parasite, then it's not getting something, right? It's needing to push outside and actually consume something that's on a parasitic level. But when you have a symbiotic environment, then your gut biota and strong, it's going to be protecting you. And it's a whole other layer of research that we need to do to understand it, but it's fascinating.
Totally. Yeah. I've also heard people talking about eating an alkaline diet too versus eating an acidic diet. There's so many, I think it's so interesting because I don't really know much about most of this stuff. And I'm really curious what the benefits to all of it are. And then also everybody's body's created differently.
Yeah.
I did a food sensitivity test and then found out that I was sensitive to coconut, which really broke my heart. I love coconuts.
Coconuts are great.
Coconut oil, coconut juice, kiwis, oranges, edamame, soy came up for me, P and P protein, which is what most of the meat alternatives are made out of. So super interesting. And then almonds too, which I had been eating for a long time. There's a really delicious snack if you like dips that are vegetarian or vegan, I guess. There's a stuff called bitchin' sauce, and boy, is it delicious. But after eating it, I had to go get Benadryl because I thought I was dying because it's literally pure almond puree.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm trying myself in is to get more, I guess, involved in the stuff that I'm eating and understand the biochemistry too. Like, why are those foods making you react the way you do? That's a big question, you know. And then other people are having the same kind of issues, and that's something we need to study more. Is like, how does gluten affect us? How does carbohydrate and mostly eating a carbohydrate diet affect us? How do these things on it like affect our everyday mood and how our body is functioning, how it's forming? Like, there's many questions.
Yeah, and it seems that the root, or at least the main connection between all of them is inflammation.
Yeah, 100%.
These things cause inflammation when you're having an allergic reaction or sensitivity. There's inflammation that's occurring in your gut, in your body. If you get stung by a bee, anaphylactic, like it's you inflame, and there's a histemic reaction to it. So I think that's really interesting as well. And then also if we can alter it too, because I've heard people who've had maybe, let's say, peanut allergy. And over time, like an actual, if they eat it, they're going to die allergy. And as they introduce it over time in small amounts, their allergy will change.
Mm-hmm. They get a tolerance to it.
So I think that's something else that'd be interesting. And also people who develop allergies or sensitivities over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that could have maybe eaten bread as a kid and they ate too much Wonder Bread.
Oh yeah,
over the years.
No, watch out for gluten. That's another thing. That's one thing I've tried to avoid for a couple months now.
For sure. And then it's like, is it the gluten or is it the wheat that's grown in America that's covered in glyphosate, you know?
No, there's so many factors, but I definitely think gluten has a huge thing to do with it, especially if you look at it like the biochemical, like what's happening. I think even Jonathan mentioned on your previous podcast how it affects him and like the E. coli in your stomach lining and everything. So like it's a real thing, and it's something that is studied. And like, yeah, some people are more tolerant than other people, but the question is like, well, what is the biochemistry and how is this making them feel? And is it going to be like that with us all? Because we have similar systems, right? We all have like very similar, way we operate. And so it's really interesting to know the biochemistry, though. And that's something I'm just getting into, and is just biochemistry in general, because I was more looking on ecological scale, but in like understanding things in direction like that. But when you're eating and the chemicals go inside you and they're being used in metabolic pathways that you don't even understand. And it's really interesting to see how many chemicals we're ingesting in the American diet now anyway. Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's so many variables that we don't even know, but it's the ones that we do know, we should definitely track. Like there's a lot of awareness with eating too many carbs now. I mean, we have diabetes on the rise, right? And different other causes of heart disease, which also relates to a lot of things. And I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to claim to know a lot of it, but it's all caused by our diets and our lifestyles. So we need to look into that more.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's stress that affects human beings, our sleep schedules, the amount that we work. And I mean, some people, you know, have done really well, I guess, maybe because they've had time off in 2020, but then they have different stresses that arise. But yeah, I think that's interesting. The, like looking at the chemical reactions, because I personally don't know a lot of this stuff. It's really anecdotal. I can only speak on my behalf of myself, you know. And but I think starting to shift, I think everything is shifting and starting to shift to being more aware, being more communicative, you know, maybe having some community gardens and really starting to know where things come from is going to be something that's really important as we like move forward into the future.
Oh yeah, definitely need it.
Yeah, definitely. And to be able to take care of ourselves. But yeah, so maybe we can So yeah, we were talking about bananas earlier. I mean, bananas are great. I'm sure people put them in their smoothies all the time, but
they're delicious.
But at what cost is your banana in your smoothie? You know, and so we kind of got into talking about global warming. So yeah, what do you think about that in bananas, or should we be eating these things? Is it worth the sacrifice to have some of these foods imported?
Well, I guess like my own personal view on it is I strive to live locally no matter what. And it's something that it's extremely hard nowadays. We have a universal trade and have economics just going into places like getting bananas and other places that are across the commodities and that are from places around the world. So I personally think that, is it worth it? No, not really. Well, and that's just because like, I don't have to have a banana. Yeah, I enjoy them. They're delicious. They taste really good, but they're also really carby. So I can't eat a lot of them anyways. But, I think that the cost is way higher. And what I mean by that is, I mean, if you see the freights that the bananas are coming in and where they're coming from, how much fossil fuels is that using? You know, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And then also like, well, is it worth it? You know, like when we got bananas in our kitchen, that's good. But there's also other fruits that we can grow locally and also just support local farmers or people that are, you know, cultivating. That doesn't have to be something from there. And also what's the cost on that? Because if it's not just bananas, right? We have a load of different fruits, and then you have a whole load of different other commodities that are coming from all these different countries and places, because our trades are just, we go everywhere. I mean, there's pointless like places we are like trips we take too, just for packaging and stuff. Like the question really is like, what are our priorities? What do we want? Or is it important? How is it going to make us healthy? Is it really actually doing something for us? And honestly, like in my own personal life, I strive to live locally, and I would love to support somebody who is right next to me rather than someone across the world for something that necessarily that I don't necessarily, I guess, need because of the fact that it's inefficient in nature.
And so, like, and now I'm thinking about that. It's like, we've built these infrastructures though. See, that's the thing, is like our world, and we've seen it kind of be affected by COVID, but our world, it's like, we've set up these places, we've gone and we have a relationship with the banana farmers now. We've gone. And so there's a lot of monocropping that happens. The same thing. If you look at palm trees and palm oil, they're cutting down the forests over there to make room so they can have more beef, because as more countries enter the first world or second world, countries are up and coming, people are eating more meat, because it's like almost like a status thing where people are consuming more meat. And now there's the Amazon is being burned and cut down, and they're replacing it with palm oil fields and monocropping, which destroys the undergrowth in the forest. It kills off a lot of the natural biome and fauna and flora. We're like literally like giving an enema to the Amazon forest over there and just clearing everything out.
What cost, right? But goes back to the question though. What cost? So like you have all these industries of different commodities like palm oil, bananas, anything you can think
avocados.
Of. Avocados. And it's not even just food products. You have other things as well. But the thing is what is the benefit, right? And then you got to look at what's the cost. Because if you're not understanding what the cost is very much, then it's probably not a cost you're having to pay, right? So there's a thing that we like to do is ignore the process, but you got to really understand what's going on in the process and understand, is it worth it on the global scale? Is it affecting other people? Am I going in and am I using, going into, a trade where there's been slaves being used, or what, how are these people being paid, or what's the environment look like? What are you doing to the environment? What are the people being held to standards? So it's you have social and you have environmental questions to be asking when you buy products on the shelf. And most of it, we don't need at all. At least I don't think so. I personally, chocolate is delicious, right?
Yeah. Chocolate's pretty.
It's so good. And I'm not innocent when it comes down to all these products yet either. But I'm working towards something that's more sustainable in my own life. So when it comes down to the question with bananas, it's is it worth it? Well, I like apples and I guess I like other products, I just have to find a different source of potassium. And honestly, the way that they're bred now, and like you said, monocultured, and it's just one clone of one kind of banana just being grown, that's not even necessarily nutritionally dense, I think the cons outweigh the pros.
Definitely. There's a lot of, and it's every product itself should be looked at to a degree, but it's the less I know, the better. And I feel like a lot of people kind of adopt that point of view. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I have chocolate, I ate it last night. I just think that there should be an awareness, right? We should be conscious and we should be aware of these things so we can maybe support a company that's doing something just a little bit better or a little bit different. If you haven't seen the show Rotten and you have Netflix, I highly recommend it. They talk about chocolate, they talk about avocados, the cartel is involved with the avocados. It's really, really interesting, but I definitely recommend checking that out, so you can have more awareness around it. And the folks that are doing the hard work and not getting paid very well to bring you some of the products that we all enjoy a lot. And also a lot of the dairy that's on your shelf as well is because of bees. So taking care of the bees is a super big priority. That's something that we definitely need to do more of. If you want to help the world, keep some bees, because maybe you think about this stuff and it bums you out, or you feel kind of paralyzed by the things that are happening in the world. You can't make a difference. And I understand. I totally understand that, but I don't agree with that point of view, because there's always something you can do, whether it's growing your own vegetables. That's the most powerful thing you can do. You don't like capitalism, you don't have to participate in it all the time. And also, if you look at the seasons are changing, it's fall now. A lot of this stuff doesn't grow outside. Maybe in Florida, you still probably get bananas and certain fruits, but just look at what things grow in the environment you're in. You can stuff. There's a lot of stuff we can do. I'm not saying don't go to the store and eat vegetables or anything, but look at the foods that exist in the geographical area you're in, because you live there for a reason, and look at what can be grown during what parts during the year. And because our bodies change as the seasons change,
Well, yeah, that's something that we don't think about very much. And I like what you said, being aware of it, because it's not necessarily just the action that's necessarily can cause harm. It's the awareness that's not there. And if you're aware of it and you're understanding what the processes are, you can also mitigate those processes. And like you said, look for what's around you. That's really important. I mean, if people understood how many delicious mushrooms grow in the Pacific Northwest just alone, and they would go out and find them, they're around, or there's different foods you can find. If people would really just find the farms around here too, because I mean, Oregon has a lot of possibilities, but look what's around and you'll see that there's a lot more, and also a lot more worth, because you're supporting your neighbors.
Totally. Yeah. And that's important too. No matter where you are, there's some farmer that's out there that's local. I guarantee I did it here. You can go on Craigslist and type in eggs and you can find a dude who will come deliver you eggs. Mm-hmm. You can find people with chickens in your neighborhood. And if this doesn't exist around you, then maybe be the person that starts to do these things, you know, mm-hmm. if you've got chickens or something. But you can definitely get in touch with your local neighbors. If you are somebody that eats meat, I eat meat. There's definitely somebody that keeps animals around you on some farmland, and you can support that person who might be having a tough time in life right now with how our economy is going. So mm-hmm. there's always people around you. You can always source relatively local stuff. Honey, something that definitely you can find local. Eggs or things that you can find local. Certain fruits you can mm-hmm. find local, and again, you can always grow them as well too. So
yeah, there's always the possibility to incorporate the sustainable things in your life. Like, that's the one thing that's really something that's been grabbing onto my own personal path, is like, what can I do to live a more sustainable, minimal life? And that causes, you know, a better life for my own self and the people around me. And because you're causing it to be like a, you know, a feedback loop that's worth living. You end up going out and helping your neighbors. You end up producing products. You're proud of that. Like, if you end up having chickens, like, I've raised chickens, it's really fun and it also causes you to have a connection with your food, which is lost. We have lost our connection with our food. It's really scary, because if you end up like this, one of the things that you asked earlier, like what I bypassed when what I've noticed on the farm is how animals behave. And we're animals, we tend to forget that all the time, but like, they're always searching for food, right? That's mm-hmm. all they're doing. They're scavenging, they're foraging, they're looking for food, they're eating, or they're sleeping, or, you know, they're just being an animal. We don't do that very much anymore. You have a store that you end up going, and that's the closest you get to your food. But if you end up producing your food or like foraging for your food, it's such a powerful connection.
Totally. Yeah. And seeing how things grow, we have a garden in our backyard, and I was like, this is how Brussels sprouts grow. What? This is how peppers grow. So it's a fun experience, especially if you have kids too, because then you can learn together and you're teaching, you're teaching your kids, you're teaching your kids like a really awesome life skill. You know, growing up, I grew up in an Italian family, so I've seen tomatoes grow a lot. That's something I've seen for a long time. Grapes, salad's really cool. It's greens grow really well, and you don't really have to do a whole lot, and you can eat a salad almost every single day in the summer. You will end up with too much lettuce or microgreens or whatever. So that's something that I highly recommend checking out and growing, because they'll make you feel really good. Also, herbs too, rosemary, sage, grow like wildfire. You'll feel super accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, or berries too.
Yeah. Just in general, like, if you just a mint plant will go crazy too. Watch out, they're almost invasive.
Yeah. If you plant a mint plant, put it in a pot or something. Yeah. Our neighbors make fun of us all the time because we have so much mint. If you really want to feel accomplished, grow bamboo.
Oh yeah, that's another one that will just spread like crazy.
Yeah,
but it's important. It's important to grow these things, at least, or like get incorporated with some kind of organisms around you.
Absolutely, especially if you have a pet panda, which we've got two pandas. I'm just kidding, you know, pandas, but it'd be cool. It'd be a reason for the bamboo in our neighbor's backyard. But yeah, so connectivity, right? Being connected to your property, being connected to your body, being connected to the food that you're growing, being connected to your friends and family. Connectivity is something that's definitely, I feel like, become very important during this time. At least for myself, this podcast is an opportunity for me to connect with people, and can do it relatively remotely or just like limit the amount of people I interact with. But yeah, I think that, you know, humanity is definitely at a place where we've kind of feel disconnected, and it's weird because we have social media. Mm-hmm. It's weird because we have a lot of opportunity. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to connect, and I don't know how much people are taking it. A lot of folks kind of isolate themselves, and, you know, will sit down in front of a TV, or you know, maybe they're just kind of feeling cut off. And so I think that's something that a lot of people can identify with. And, you know, when we look at I was talking to Zach earlier, and I was like, I don't know if it's like on purpose, you know, mm-hmm. like, or has our society been built to make people feel disconnected so we can get them on pharmaceutical medications? Like, we can, you know, people are sold these foods that aren't very nutritious, so it keeps people kind of in the same area. But then it's like, if you go to the store, what you're going to buy is going to look totally different than what this other person's going to buy. You know, they're going to go fill their cart up with soda, macaroni and cheese. They're going to go shop mm-hmm. down the middle aisles, and then you only do your shopping around the outside.
Oh yeah, I only stay on the outside. That's one thing that keto has definitely provided for me. And that's something that, I think about all the time, and I really wonder if it's just chaos driven or it has an intent. But I think that the one thing that we've got ourselves in is a society that likes to keep us at a very low frequency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, yeah, that's something that, you know, and I wondered for a long time, I'm like, and I still do, is that on purpose or, you know, is it just people have choices and that's what people have chosen to interact with? But
it's definitely influenced at least, right?
Yeah,
we
it's
have
definitely
a huge culture influence.
For sure, the commercials that exist that tell us to buy Oreos and alcohol and do all of these things. I mean, I don't think people realize how in the matrix they really are, you know, as we start to like awaken as a culture. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So on the subject of 2020, you know, what's something that you've learned from this year, you know, maybe that you didn't expect to, or what's something that's kind of come up for you, you know, as this whole thing is kind of unfolded?
Well, I guess one major one is something I've learned specifically is that not all plans go to accord. Like, they're just not always going to happen. And in fact, 2020 has taught us something. They will have something that is outside of our control to do that. So basically, I've learned to adapt in the present moment, figure out what I can do now, and figure out what makes a difference. And that is kind of just made me stick my head in a book and just continue to read and figure out what I can do, continue to gain the skills that I am trying to get to live a more sustainable life. So I guess it's just caused me to be encouraged, and it's taught me a lot of sustainability, because we're living in a time where it's like, the future is really uncertain with, well, how's it going to go? I mean, tomorrow is November 3rd, right? We have a huge election day.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So like there's a bunch of areas of uncertainty, and that's caused me, 2020 has taught me anything is that plans don't always go accordingly, but there's always a different purpose underneath.
Absolutely right. The silver lining to everything. So that being said, you know, we've talked about some stuff, and I want to make sure that people listen to this podcast and feel some sort of hope. So what hopes do you have for the future? What, with the goal, with what you're doing, what do you envision for the future?
Well, I actually have gotten a lot of hope, despite how 2020 has been, just because I'm seeing a lot of people like yourself and other people doing what they think is their, you know, their purpose right at that moment, which is perfect, right? Like I was saying before, plans don't go accordingly, but 2020 made people so uncertain that they just went for it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the most beautiful thing. So that gives me hope. I see people like you developing this podcast, which gives the Pacific Northwest a voice that you're going to see is going to be huge, right? Like, we have a huge opportunity with this. Then we have Jonathan doing his things, and I have a bunch of friends just trying to do things in their own personal lives too. But you see the motivation is there. And that's what gives me hope, is because humans now are becoming more aware within our situation, at least in the United States, and especially over here, we are very aware of what's going on. And that's causing change. So that gives me hope.
Definitely. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be a wave, you know, that kind of comes in people. And I think that that's how kind of energy moves, is in a Taurus spiral. And I think that, you know, it's really interesting, you know, for me to sit here and do this thing and see, you know, see how it's changed me and how I feel in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing, and then directly see how it starts to influence other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that it serves as some kind of tool for folks to learn, to feel inspired. If I can do this, you can do this, you know. If, you know, you're, I don't know, even like talking to you right now, like, you reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe we can do a podcast. I hit you up today and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was random and it happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that it's one of those things that gives me hope, is people are doing things like that, right? They're just like, it's not taking any time, because people aren't trying to focus so much on what to worry about it, right? Like,
yeah.
One thing we can question is, like, you know, just the doubts of everything. But one thing 2020 is doing for a lot of people is just like, go for it.
Hit exactly. The
gas, just do it.
Yeah. Like, you know, you can, yeah, you know, I don't, I guess it's bad, whatever. I'm just going to say it. You know, as much as people don't like Donald Trump, that dude did the thing, you know? And so I think he's a magician. I do not agree with his policies. I'm going to say that on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with the dude's policies. I really try not to like get super political or whatever, but like, I believe in choosing love and not alienating people, and I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy is a magician. He literally, no one thought he was going to win. the dude is just like, I'm going to do this thing. And that guy believes in himself so much.
More than anyone else. But that's the thing, right? Like, we don't have to agree with his tactics. We don't have to agree with his policies. The one thing that he wants you to do is talk about him, yep. right? Like, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how you talk about him. He wants you to talk about him. And that's the kind of thing, like, I do not endorse Trump at all.
No.
Like, not at all.
Nope.
And, but, like, he does show us that. But why can't we take that quality and then make it, you know, something that we can do on the grassroots yeah, level, right?
Exactly.
Because we don't need to see, you know, a corporate businessman who is not even really a businessman, but, like, you know, like, it poses to be one, do something that is so powerful like that. Imagine if everybody linked their arms together, did what they wanted to do, and was creative about it. There'd be a future that nobody would be able to even, like, perceive.
Exactly. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is, like, you take that energy of, like, I 100% totally believe in myself without a doubt. I'm fucking immune to bullshit. You know what I mean? Like that, like, I am immune to people's thoughts about me telling me that I can't do the things that I want to in my life. Take that energy and then move it through, like, the love portal of your heart, and then start to act from that place of feeling like you can't be defeated, because like, it's been proven, you know. I'm listening to this book, Make Change by, Sean King. It's really awesome. Highly recommend it. But he talks about Bernie Sanders and how Bernie Sanders lost multiple elections, like, lost bad, like, 5 or 6 elections before he became a representative, then, like, lost the governor, like, tried to become governor, lost multiple times, and then eventually became a senator. And now he got voted the most loved, beloved senator that we have. He's Bernie Sanders is a badass. Whether you agree with this policy or not, just the fact that that dude lost and then continued to persevere till eventually he won. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is like, that energy is inspirational. Just the fact of, like, I'm not going to be defeated. I don't care if half the world thinks that I'm a joke, but, like, I'm going to do this. And so, like, just let that, you know, even if you can't, you know, if you just hopefully take, you know, there's always something we can learn from everybody. Like, I don't look at people and I'm like, that guy's a fool. I can't learn anything from him.
Everyone's a teacher and a student, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, and always make sure that your cup is empty enough to be filled with more knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, I just, with as weird as this is, and tomorrow being election day, no matter what way it goes, we're all here together and it's going to be okay. I really, truly believe that. There's a silver lining to everything. But just, I hope you can just be inspired by that instead of feel defeated. Don't let somebody else take your power and your energy and your hope away from you. Don't let anybody do it. It's like, we often give our power up, especially people that are empathetic and sensitive. We constantly just give up our power and to all these other people and other entities. We feel defeated really easily. And I just want you to know that it's going to be okay. Don't let the world defeat you. We go to bed and we wake up every day, and some of us stand up on our own 2 feet and we fight gravity. As you sit up, look at the child. That's why they can't stand up at first. Baby can't sit up, and your muscles grow and you learn to support yourself. How exciting is it to see a child running, right? And then it starts to learn and it talks, and that's what we're doing. We forget that we were children. We forget that we are children. We've just grown up a bit. And so I think it's really important to, like, reconnect with that aspect of yourself, to know that every day that you're sitting up, you know, in a chair or standing, or you're even, like, awake and conscious, you know, because, like, those are blessings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've got friends that are in wheelchairs and stuff. So, like, shout out to you guys. You guys are badass too. So they're like, we take so much for granted, even just, like, sitting up, you know.
Try to remind myself that every day, you know, and just the fact that getting out of bed is an accomplishment, you know. But just continue to, I guess, like, one thing that I try to focus on as well is value your mistakes, value the defeat, because that ends up being your greatest victory, is what gets out of that mistake. You understand what not to do that, or you understand what's not the truth, whatever you're trying to figure out, you figured it out, right? That's a success on its own. And now just bring what that is learned, or what you learned from that, to the next level, towards your victory. But just always get up and value them.
So what has been an important learning experience for you, where you thought maybe it was a total mistake, or you're like, it wasn't supposed to be like this. You know, what's a time in your life that now looking back on it with your 2020 hindsight, you're like, man, that was a great learning experience for me.
That's a big question. See, I guess there's a lot of different things in my own life that have taught me that. But one thing is, like, I even recently just, like, I moved back into the Tualatin Valley area over here in Oregon, just from the coast. I think it's like December of last year, right before pandemic hit. I got a job at 360 Campaign Consulting. I worked for the Drug Addiction Treatment Recovery Act and the Psilocybin Service Initiative campaign, which was fun. But I had a goal to come over here and help some buddies develop a mycology business and actually probably start cultivating some mushrooms. And ever since that happened, well, I moved out here kind of like almost blindly, right? And moved back into my home valley and was then all of a sudden COVID hit. I'm like pretty much stranded here. I'm actually staying with my girlfriend. And it led me to be like, think though, well, should I stay at the coast, continue to go to school, or just get stranded back in the valley? And I just kind of kept my head up though. No, there's something, you know, there's something to be here for. And what I'm doing with my friends is really great and everything. We just got to kind of figure out how to mitigate through the pandemic. But it actually led me to where I live now on the farm, right? Because I got invited through a family friend to come live on the farm because of the fact that I was in the Tualatin Valley, just, pretty much mistaken, you know, like thought I was going to do something. And then all of a sudden 2020 hit and then completely different atmosphere. So I guess that's like the one thing is like it keeps throwing me back into that same lesson. And that's to learn to live in the present moment. You know, quit trying to plan so far away. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So you got to just kind of go with the flow and deal with what's right in front of you. That's when you hit me up with the podcast today, I was like, this is something that's right in front of me, right? I got to start saying yes to what's right in front of me. And I need to start doing things, right? That's right in front of me rather than right what's going to happen in the future, because we do not know. We have no clue. There's so many variables. So I guess that's like the one thing is, like, you know, 2020 has taught me that, but that's also done that in life in general has taught me that in other ways too. I mean, just throughout my life, I've always tried to focus on the present moment because of how important that is, and that's all there is. Dance with the music.
Exactly. Yeah, it's important, and that's something that I'm sure, you know, continues to come up in conversation with folks. And, you know, it's something that's important to me, me being somebody that I love Ram Dass, you know, and Be Here Now is something that's super, you know, important to me. If you haven't checked out that book, Ram Dass, Be Here Now, I highly recommend it, especially if you're feeling lost in life. It's a super special tool. But yeah, being present is super important. Life is continually giving you opportunities. You might think that it's not happening, but sometimes you just need to sit down, slow down, and just listen, you know. Mm-hmm. Listening's super important. Listening to the people around you, listening to yourself, most importantly. Our intuition is so important, and being able to discern for yourself, you know. I think that's something that's kind of been coming up for me too, being able to discern what situations are best for you. I think people get judgment and discernment confused sometimes, with feeling like if you're seeing somebody doing something, or like, say, for instance, your friends are partying and you want to go to bed so you can wake up early tomorrow because you have work. Being like, hey, I'm not going to participate in this, I'm going to go to bed, is discerning that that's the best decision for you to make. You're not judging your friends like, oh, I can't believe they're drinking or partying. Like, I'm just going to go to bed now. And that's mm-hmm. discernment for yourself, you know. Whereas judgment is kind of like, the thing that this person did is unforgivable in the eyes of the universe or God.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like somebody being murdered, you could be like, I'm judging this person because they're a murderer or because they took this action. And ultimately, it's the act itself. It's never really the individual, because the individual is the same before and after the action happens. Not to like condone murder or anything. I'm just like, you know, my point just being that, like, I don't know. It's important to be able to like discern for yourself and realize that sometimes making decisions that are going to benefit you, even if it's like getting away from people, you might be friends with somebody for a long time, or you might have worked at a job, or you might be doing anything that's happened in 2020 and feeling like it just doesn't serve you anymore. And so if something doesn't serve you anymore, use your intuition in the situation to be able to discern for yourself what's what's best. And sometimes that can be really hard.
Yeah, no, that's one of the hardest things to do. And that goes into a lot. And then one thing that I've kind of tried to make myself realize is like just the components of like how everything is a system. You can replace those habits, right? You can replace the systems that were making you feel that way. So like if you have bad habits or anything you need to do, and you can discern it with your friends and do what you need to do. But it doesn't need to be judgment.
Exactly. And it can happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now is the only moment that exists. Everything that we and you will ever do in your entire life is going to happen right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into forever. And so that's a fun thought. So hopefully that provides some awareness for some folks. I know that as I continue to have these conversations with people, it continually reminds me and I learn something new all the time. So, let's see. So we're kind of getting towards the end here. And so going to ask you the same question I ask everybody else, and that is, what would you like to upload to the Conscious Cloud for all of the folks that are out there listening, or for the folks that might not be listening but are in vibration with us?
Well, I guess like the ultimate message that I'm trying to figure out how to just promote is live symbiotically and just live in homeostasis with your environment, with the people around you, with yourself. And that takes, like you're saying, listening and just being in tune. So like just be symbiotic with you. That includes all of you, the microbiota inside your gut, you know, that includes the animals around you. And then that includes the social relationships that you're in. It doesn't really matter what it is. Just live in symbiosis and live in a homeostatic lifestyle.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah, symbiosis is important. As we move forward in life, I think it's really important to reach out to folks, check on your friends, connect with people you don't know. I'm super stoked. Again, thank you for coming and sitting down.
Yeah, thank you.
Having this conversation. Say thank you to people. Tell people you love them. It's only as weird as you make it. So
yeah, exactly. Get out there, make yourself known.
And it's going to be okay. And, if you think it's not going to be okay, just talk to me and I'll be happy to remind you. So,
well, that's good. Well, thanks again for inviting me out. This is awesome. Excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. And, to everyone else out there, be the frequency you want to see. Thanks, y'all. And there you have it. Mr. Zach Anderson von Heater. I loved Zach's contribution to the Conscious Cloud, to be more symbiotic within yourself, within your environment, with others, from the micro to the macro, the fauna, the flora, internally, externally. It's a lesson that I think we could all learn from. You know, there's so many precious things working symbiotically around us, so many things in our environment and in our world constantly unfolding out of themselves. And so I think it's really important to be more conscious, aware, and consider all of the things that are happening around us and for us a lot of the time. So if you want to connect with Zach, he is zachvonheater@gmail.com. He is @homeostatic_organism on Instagram if you want to connect with him there. Maybe you have some advice. Maybe you know something about pond restoration. Or, yeah, I don't know, maybe you just want a new friend to say hello to. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please give us a good rating on iTunes. Check out the Instagram @ConsciousCloud. There's a Facebook page as well. Subscribe to the podcast if this is something that resonates with you, and it certainly will give it more visibility, and I will greatly appreciate it. Until next time, folks, be the frequency you want to see. I love you guys.